Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, I feel impressed to move in a different direction today. We've been on that series, but I felt impressed late last night. This felt like the Lord was impressing something different on my heart as I was in here just praying and spending time with the Lord. And so we're going to go in a different direction today. Glory to God. And I think you're going to like it. If you don't like this, I don't even know if a defibrillator will help you. I mean, because this is good. We're going to start talking today on the life of victory. Amen. Or you could call it living the life of victory. I was looking through my notes and I noticed I have a lot of series that start with living. Living the elevated life. Living the life of faith. I think the reason to do that is because we're just doing life together, aren't we? It's about what has God given us to help us to live. And He wants us to live. Jesus died so we could live. He died so we could have His life, His eternal life, flowing through our spiritual veins. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. But I want to start talking today about living the life of faith. Living the life of victory. Mm-hmm. How many know you need to, in this world we're living in right now, you know the Bible tells us, I believe it's in 2 Peter 3:1 if I'm not mistaken, He says, you know, that the perilous times are coming. How many know that they're here? Have you noticed? But how many know you don't have to look at what's on the news and go, ugh. You don't have to do that. Not if you're a person of faith. Not if you're a person that believes in that you can walk in the victory. I can look right in the midst of turmoil and still be victorious. See, that's what the joy of the Lord does. It helps you to look. It's that supernatural ability on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit that helps us to look at a dire situation and go, ha, 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 ha. Is that all you got? Ha, 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 ha. Why? Because we know God's got so much more. God is so much bigger. I've said it so many times before, but it bears repeating. This is not God and the devil. That ain't even remotely close to what it looks like. It's like God, the devil. That's what it looks like. They are not equal opposites. It's not like, well, God's really good. Oh, but the devil's really bad. Oh, no, and it's such a tussle. It's such a wrestling match. It's such a fight. Oh. No, you know when the Bible talks about fight the good fight of faith? You know who your biggest fight's against? Yourself. It's really against yourself. Oh, but the devil's bad. Yeah, but all God needs you to do is believe Him more than you believe the devil. Right? One guy said it this way. He says, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. Come on, Brother Shambach. Oh, he preached at my graduation from Raymond. Man, that wasn't a more fitting preacher for me at that moment. Right? You don't have any problems. For you to have problems means, number one, you haven't given them to the Lord. Come on, somebody. Come on. Hallelujah. But then for you to have problems, then you're not acknowledging that God is greater than any problem. And He is greater than any problem. Yes. Watch this. Thanks be unto God, who most of the time causes us to triumph. 98%. Okay, fine. 99.8%. Always. Always, exclamation, 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 capitalized, highlighted, bolded, always. And in the Greek, that word means always. Hallelujah. Never without fail. God always causes us to triumph when we trust in Him. Amen. So we're going to be talking about the life of victory for the next, I don't know, two, 3 weeks, four, you know, probably not much more than that. But we're always talking about the life of victory, but you know what I'm saying, for this particular series. But today's, oh, you're going to love this, today's installment, today's title for today's message, that was a series title, right? Today's title is called Symptoms of a Victim. All right, so here's what you do. If you're, as I'm preaching today, if you feel like I'm talking about you, okay, don't lower your head, don't scowl, just look straight ahead and go, you preach it, PK, because I know somebody needs that. And then when you get home, you can fall across your bed and go, oh, God, I know he was talking about me, right? Come on, I'm talking to all of us. The enemy would love nothing more than to get all of us in that victim mentality. So we're going to be talking about what, and some people don't even realize they're in a victim mentality because they don't even know what it looks like, right? Because the enemy wants to keep them from seeing what it looks like. But so just know that I'm talking to everybody, including myself. We all need these encouragements, right? Well, let's go ahead and start at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at this. Because Paul faced some things, don't you know? He had plenty. How many know that Paul, the Apostle Paul, he had plenty, ample opportunity to have a victim mentality? Oh, man, you think what you're going through some stuff. Oh, man, you read what Paul went through, and it's like, no, this is a piece of cake. This really isn't all that bad. See, the enemy always wants us to think that our situation is the worst. And he wants to get us to talk about how bad it is. But that is doing you no good. Now, watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, I'm already thinking about my third message on this because I'm so excited about getting there. But I got to give you this before I can get you to there. Man, glory to God. I'm ready to just do cartwheels, man. I know some of you would like to see me try. I'm not going to do it. All right. I know my limits. Okay, here we go. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 8. It says, and listen to what Paul said. He said, we are pressed on every side. You know, there are churches that are built on that statement. There are churches you can go to, and you can get up there, and the preacher will get up there. Oh, man, we are pressed on every side. And the congregation is like, oh, brother, you know it. Oh, do I know how you feel? Oh, man, there are churches that get more excited about that than when I preach on victory. Thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory. Thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory. Come on. We're getting. Did you know the Bible actually says this crazy statement? It's. I know it's kind of out there for some of you, but watch this. Shout unto God with a voice of defeat. No, he says shout unto God with a voice of triumph. It's okay to shout in church. In fact, you should be shouting in church. Listen, if you can't shout about what you're hearing here, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do for you out there. I hear more people moan, oh, me, this is horrible, than I hear, praise God, he gives me the victory. We're going to change that. Come on, we're going to be a glory to God. We're going to be excited about what God has for us. I don't care what the devil's doing. He's not better than God. Hallelujah. All right. See, I mean, I'm preaching on the first few words of that verse right there. All right. Glory to God. Here we go. We are pressed on every side by troubles. Oh, yeah, brother, I know. But, how many know there are some good buts in the Bible? But we are not crushed. Now, you know, some people would say, oh, man, we got troubles on every side. And some people are like, man, don't be confessing that. Don't be confessing that. Did you know the Bible does not say call things that are as though they're not? Exactly. A lot of people do that, man. I have no troubles. They get a hold of the faith message and they misconstrue it and they misunderstand it. And they're like, oh, I have no troubles. I have no symptoms. Why are you in the prayer line? I have no troubles. They go to the doctor. Okay, well, what'd you come in for today? I have no problems. What are the symptoms you're dealing with? I have no symptoms. Right? Bill collector calls. When are you going to pay this bill? I have no bills. The Bible does not say, do not call things that are as though they're not. Now, what verse am I referring to? Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, now the God who brings the dead back to life and calls things that be not as though they are. So it's not about I have no problems, I have no symptoms, I have no this, I have no that. That's not, no, you're not supposed to declare what you don't have. You're supposed to declare what you do have. He says, call things that be not as though they are. See, Paul here, perfect example of this. He said, yep. We're pressed on every side. We're facing many troubles. Yet, we are not crushed. But, we are not crushed. So what, well, you just semantics, you know, tomato, tomato, you know, it's all the same thing. No, it is not. When you're going around saying what you don't have, what are you thinking about? What you don't have. I have no symptoms. What are you thinking about? The symptoms. It sounds so spiritual, right? But the fact and the truth of the matter is your focus, and the enemy's got you doing that, making you think you're doing a spiritual, man, I'm making the right confession. No, you're not. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible says that the Bible says what the Bible says because the Bible says what it's supposed to say, right? So we need to say what the Bible says and not try to twist Scripture. Right? Okay? So you need to be declaring, I've got the victory. Yeah. And it's okay to admit that the enemy's bringing some things against you. That's okay. That's not a negative confession. You're just going, but see, here's what people do is they start talking about what the enemy's doing and they get locked in there. They stay right there. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you everything the devil's doing to me right now. Oh, if you just knew. Oh, it's so bad. And they stay right there. But that's not what Paul did. He goes, yep, we're pressed on every side. We're with troubles, man. We're going through some stuff. But we're not crushed. See, and that's where faith kicks in. It's okay to say, yeah, the enemy's been coming against me, but I'm healed and healthy and whole and well in Jesus' name. Yeah, he's come against my finances, but my God will supply all of my need according to his glory, riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, it doesn't matter what the devil's trying to do. He's messing with my kids, but the Bible tells me that I have prayed for my child. I have prayed for him, and that when he gets older, he will not depart from his faith and trust and confidence in God. So you don't have to... Another verse, it goes on down. Say, he says, none of these things move me. None of what things? All the negative stuff. So we're not ignoring the negative. We're not sticking our head in the sand. And we're just saying, hey, no, God is greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, I'm trying to get something into you today. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. We're getting something done. We're going to whoop up on the devil. Hallelujah. What else does he say? He said, we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed. You know what it means to be perplexed? It's like the cartoon character, you know, when something happens and there's a little bubble over their head and it's nothing but a bunch of question marks. In other words, I don't know. Where'd that come from? Anybody ever had any where'd that come from moments? How did that happen? Anybody ever had those moments where you didn't feel like you knew what you were going to be able to do from this? Yeah. How are you even going to get out of this one? Right? Yeah, we were perplexed. We were in a place where we weren't really sure what was going to happen. We weren't really sure what to do about this situation. But what did he say about that one? He says, we were perplexed, but not driven to despair. See, some people, they get to where they don't know. And then here's how the devil works. And then he comes into your head. And that's where his battlefield is, right? Right there in your head, right? And then he comes into your head and he goes, you don't really know what to do about this, do you? And you're like, no, I don't know. I don't know. Well, you know, well, what are you going to do about this? I don't know. Well, what are you going to do if this happens? Well, I don't know. What is your name? Well, I thought I knew, but maybe I don't know that either. Right? And he gets us to where we, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. That's when you need to do what Jesus did when he was being tempted on those 40 days in the desert, in the wilderness. He says, the word says, but it is written. Right? You need to remind the devil what the word says. Don't let him do all the talking. He's trying to manipulate your thinking. He's trying to manipulate your emotions and get all up in your feelings and get you to start talking about how you feel about it. It don't matter how you feel about it. What matters is what the word says. I'm not saying we don't care. We do care about you, but what you feel about it honestly does not matter unless you want to keep feeling that way. Now, if you just want to keep on feeling sorry for yourself, you want to keep feeling like, oh, it's me, all the bad stuff always happens. If you want to keep feeling that way, then by all means, it's all yours. But just don't call me and ask me to pray for you. You know, PK, that's harsh. No, that's truth. Because here's the fact of the matter. I could have a prayer line this morning, and I could pray for every single person. But here's the deal. If you walk away from that prayer line, and maybe you're up here and you're like, yes, PK, thank you, glory to God. Then you walk out and you begin to talk about how horrible things are again. You just negated everything that I just prayed. Yeah, so let's quit playing these spiritual games. I'm not here to pretend to be a pastor. I'm here to actually be one. And what does that mean? That means I may say some things sometimes to you that you may not like to hear it the way I say it. Now, I'm not talking about being mean and unloving. No, my job is to stay in love. But love, the Bible says that those God loves, he corrects. So if you want to live the life of victory, you've always got to be open to correction. Amen? You've got to be open to correction. If God can't correct us, then we're done. We might as well just give up the lease to this building and say, hey, thanks for the ride. It was fun while it lasted. Made it 12 years, but hey, no, we got a whole lot more than that in us, don't we? We ain't going nowhere. Come on, I believe that I'm talking to the right bunch this morning. I believe I'm talking to people that actually want to live the life of victory. That means I believe I'm talking to people that's willing to take words of correction when it's necessary. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, man, and let me just say this. You know, you ever notice that words of correction are never fun? You ever notice that you don't usually walk away from words of correction and go, man, I feel so good about myself right now. That was amazing getting that spanking. Man, Pastor really whipped me today. Woohoo! Glory to God. Right? But hey, man, I tell you what, when the Lord starts spanking me, it's like, oh, God, easy. Whoa. Easy. Hang on, Lord. Let me give us some toilet paper. Right? Let's pad this thing a little bit. No, but you know what? Some of the worst whoopings I got from the Lord have been some of the most beneficial whoopings I've ever had. Because it pulled me, jerking the slack out of your shorts, man. It's like, man, glory to God. I'm so glad he whooped me like that. You know, my mom and dad, yeah, I got whoopings. And I mean, to say this up front, every single one I got, I deserved and probably so much more. But I got whoopings. But, you know, I am so thankful for the whoopings I got from them because it shaped me. It whipped me right back onto the track. It's like, ooh, boy, I don't like being out there. Come on. It's the same way with God. When God gets on me, it's like, oh, Don't like that. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Yeah, okay, I'll go down to church and pray. I'm on my way, Lord. Hallelujah. But he does it because he loves us. I didn't say abusing. I said whooping. All whoopings. Never mind. We'll get away from that. All right, let's do this. All right. But we need the corrections from the Lord, don't we? So he says, we're pressed on every side with troubles, but we're not crushed. We were perplexed, but not driven to despair. Verse 9, we are hunted down. Yeah, anybody ever feel like somebody's always after you kind of type of thing? Or, you know, like the devil, if nothing else. You know, you just feel like, man, that devil just is relentless. He won't stop. He just keeps bringing blow after blow. Well, how many know that's what the definition of adversary is? Right? Satan is not actually a name. Satan is actually a descriptive word, and it defines who the devil is. He's an adversary. Satan, he's blow after blow, adversary. He's always trying. What is an adversary? Someone that's always trying to bring adverse circumstances into your life. And his desire is to, what the Bible says, wear down the saints. If I can just keep on blowing, if I keep punching, I'm going to be able to wear them down. You know, in boxing, you know, you never want your enemy to know that he's hurt you. You never want to know that. You don't want them to know that. Because see, in boxing, what happens when they're boxing and all of a sudden they see that they got a cut on your eye? That's like painting a bullseye on your face. What happens? Now the idea is we're going to attack that. Because he's cut. So if I can keep hitting that spot, it's going to make his eye swell up. He's not going to be able to see that side. He won't be able to see those blows. And so you never want the enemy to know that he's hurt you. Because when he knows that you're hurt, and how does he know that he's hurt you? Oh, that one hurt. You don't understand, man. I've been hurt. I've been wounded. Been shot. All you're doing is talking about how you were shot. Oh, talking about how somebody hurt you. You know, it's like this little boy, you know, he came up to a preacher and he says, hey, I want to show you something. And he says, okay, what do you want to show me? The little boy, and says at the end of a service, he pulls his pants leg up, and he grabs his Band-Aid and he yanks it off. Look, I was riding my bike the other day, and I got hurt really bad. I wanted you to see it. That's what keeps Christians from walking in victory. Because all we're talking about how somebody hurt us, how I've been hurt, how I've been offended, how I've been wounded. This is what's happening to me. All we talk about mostly is, every once in a while we try to look good to the preacher and say, but I've been reading my scriptures. But you keep saying that, but I hear more defeat. We don't want to be like that. We don't quit yanking the thing off. How many know that leaving the bandage on actually helps the healing quicker? But when you keep opening it up, you're delaying the healing. Yes. Quit talking about how you've been hurt. Quit talking about how people have treated you. Quit talking about how wounded you are. Because every time you say that, the enemy's like, whoop, bam. I'm going after that cut. Oh, come on. Bam, 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 bam. Right? That's what the devil's doing. That's his MO. That's his mode of operation. Don't let him know. Just, how do we not let him know? Whew. Is that all you got? Come on. A little blood, that's all right. That's all you got? Did you know the Bible says, that there's a verse in the Bible that says that one day we're going to look and we're going to go, is that the one that caused me so many problems? And I know what we're going to think. We're going to go, man, if I'd have known that, I would have paid him. No, never mind. I wouldn't have given him the time of day. Quit giving him the time of day. Hallelujah. All right, let me get this in real quick. Good Lord, I thought this would go quicker. I don't know why I think that. I keep do the same thing. You get the same results. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, maybe this will go 5 or 6 weeks. I don't know. Let's see how this goes. All right, well, let's look at this. So we're pressed, right, and all that kind of stuff. We're perplexed, but the devil, you know, he hasn't driven us to despair. Hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We may be hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. One translation says, I may be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. Come on. Just because the devil does something, don't just lay there and whine about it. Get up and do something about it. Jump down to verse 13. Verse 13, it says, oh, I'm going to read that verse in the New King James. Verse 13 in the New King James says this. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. You need to be speaking what you believe. And the problem is, most people are. Yeah. You are speaking what you believe, but here's what you got to do. You got to change your believer. You got to change what you believe. You need to start getting in the Word and getting your mind renewed to what the Word says. And you need to start saying the same thing that God says about you. Amen. I assure you, God is not sitting up there going, man, they are so sick today. Ooh, man, they're in a rough shape. Hey, Michael, come here and look at this one. Oh, man, have you ever seen anything so sad and bad? You're not doing that. I can tell you what God's probably doing. Get up. Get up. What are you doing laying there? Oh, but Lord, you don't understand how bad it hurt. I don't care. Get up. Boy, it got quiet in a hurry, man. Boy, it got quiet. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, man. God's saying, come on, honey, get up. Come on, bud, get up, man. This ain't over. What are you laying in the middle of the ring for? You haven't been counted out. Oh, did I fall off my throne? Did I die? Greater am I that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, get up. We're gonna win this thing. The Bible never promised us we wouldn't get punched. Did you know that? The Bible never promised us we wouldn't get punched. It said, fight the good fight of faith. Didn't say nothing about not getting punched. Listen, Paul, who spent time in the spirit realm with God and got all of his revelation straight from heaven. See, he wasn't there when Jesus was teaching the disciples. He came along a few years later, and he got everything he got straight from Jesus. After Jesus had resurrected and gone to be with the Lord. So here's this man, spent time in the spirit realm getting all this revelation. And he still got punched. And punched. Rocks thrown at him. Stoned. Left for dead. Stoned as in rocks being thrown at him, not high. Right? Just to make sure it's clear. Oh, dude, this is bad. Give me some more of that. No, that is not what he was doing. Come on. Stoned, left for dead. What was it? 2-3 times that happened. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. Amen? Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Brother Hagin said this one time, said it many times. He says, the spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. The spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. So if we're going to have a spirit of faith about us, if you have a spirit of faith, then there's going to be a spirit of victory about you. There's going to be victory in your voice. There's going to be victory in how you walk and how you talk. You're not going to walk around, oh, I wish the Lord would really come through for me. That is not a spirit of faith. Let me give you the other half of his statement. The spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. The spirit of doubt is the spirit of defeat. The spirit of doubt is the spirit of defeat. That's true. All right. There are two words we're going to talk about. One is victors. The other one is victims. And we're going to talk about that next week. Amen? So don't miss it. Man, this is, I'm talking about, this is the kind of stuff that puts you on the victory plane, man. This is like, woo-wee. We're going to get on that train and go, chicka, chicka, choo, choo. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I had victory for breakfast. That's what I had for breakfast. Praise God. Go ahead and stand up on your feet.